Praise the Lord. Oh my, what a week we had. Amen. It was good to be together with the people of God and got to see folks from around the country and some even that are still here. Some of our missionaries, you know, are still in country because of different travel restrictions and that type of thing. And so we just pray that they would be blessed. And don't forget, you know, if you support some of these, after your tithes, you know, come to your local church, don't forget to continue supporting them, because they may not be there, but they're going to go there. So they still got to eat. Right? How many of you like to eat? Yeah. That's what we did. Right? That's what we've been doing, right? Eating, 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 eating. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to, I didn't know they were going to show that. That was a great recap. I was going to get up here and say, well, my assignment today is to correct all the false doctrine taught at camp meeting. But that's not true. Hallelujah. If you got your Bible, go to Ephesians. Ephesians. You know, I didn't say anything to the worship team about what to sing today, but they sang right along what I want to talk about. And that's our position, who we are, our position in Christ, what the Word of God says about us. It's so important and so vital that we stay centered on these things, especially in these tumultuous days, you know, when so much is going on and things. But, you know, this doesn't change. God does not change. He's the Lord. He changes not. And who we are in Christ has not changed. And so we have to continually remind ourselves of these things. And so I just want to start in Ephesians 1, verse 1, and go through this. Now, those of you that have had this class at Rhema Bible College, you know it takes me several weeks to get through chapter 1. But we're not going to spend that much time today on it. But I just want to look at this. Now, there's some things that I want us to look at as we do this. It's the past tense of what God has already done. All right? These are things God has already done for us. We're going to see some things here. But verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice here, the phrase "which are at Ephesus" and a lot of different manuscripts aren't included, but that's not important. The important thing is this is written to the saints and the faithful in Christ. That's who I'm looking at right now. So this is written to you, written to me. All right. And so this, when he talks about us in here, he's talking to the saints and the faithful. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here, he starts the past tense here. Who has, King James says hath, I'm going to take that. It has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The blessings are in Christ. He has already done it. You know, we've got to walk in the reality that we are blessed. We're not chasing the blessing. We have already been blessed by being in Christ. How do you get in Christ? You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, right? In him. And so here he says, we are already blessed with all spiritual blessings. Where are they located? In the heavenlies. That means the source is never gonna run out. The source of this blessing is heaven that has no lack. Glory to God. According to this, he has chosen us in him. Now notice, the chosen are the ones that are in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, for God to have adopted us into his family, to seek us out and to bring us into his family, brings him great, great pleasure. It's according to the pleasure of his will. This wasn't my idea. This wasn't your idea. In fact, we can see, you can see man's idea of how to get close to God all over the world. But there's only one. There's only one way, and that's God's plan. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, I love this one, he has, not going to be, not someday when I get to heaven, he has made me, made you accepted in the beloved. Woo, glory to God. You don't have to look anyplace else for acceptance. You don't have to run here, run there, join this club, be in that one, do all these things. Amen. You want acceptance? Come to God. His is the only one that matters anyway. Amen. How many of you found out people might accept you one day and the next day they don't? Right? And there's always strings attached to the world's acceptance. But God freely gave. He freely gave us his love, made us accepted. Glory to God. In whom we have, not going to get, we have redemption through his blood. Say, I'm redeemed. And notice it's through the blood. Boy, if you didn't hear Pastor's sermon last Sunday morning, you need to get that. It says, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. You know, this whole plan that God initiated was a mystery to the devil. He had no idea God was going to do this. See, what is that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Christ was going to come live in us. That God was going to reproduce himself in us. And because Christ is in us, we really don't have lack. I heard someone say this, and I've said it enough now, I don't remember who I heard say it, but God put everything you'd ever need in Christ because he knew he was going to put Christ in you. Hallelujah. Christ is in us. What greater thing can I say than that the Christ is in me? The Messiah, the anointed one, God's favorite son is in me. Hallelujah. Christ in us. That in the dispensation, he says, of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Now, if we've gone through this, we've noticed that we're in Christ, in him, by Jesus, in the beloved, in whom? In himself. As a Christian, the more we can walk and live in the reality of being in him, the greater will be our way. The greater will be our way. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained. Not going to have, we already have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, the idea here is, you've seen, you know, if you've seen any of these old time movies or something, but when the king would make a decree, he'd have it written out, you know, he'd had somebody, you know, Yul Brynner said in Ten Commandments, so let it be written, so let it be done, right? But Pharaoh, he could say it all he wanted. He wasn't going to win against God. Amen. You know, I was thinking about that. We need to stick our bony finger in the devil's face and tell him again, Pharaoh, let my people go. Amen. Holding the church hostages, holding different things. Now, I understand we're doing, like Pastor said, the natural and super, but there's an agenda out there. The Antichrist, spirit of Antichrist is at work. And we need to stand up and take our place. But when the king would make a decree and it was written out to carry to someplace, they would fold it up and then they'd put some wax and the king would have some type of ring or signet and they would put that seal on that letter, and only the person to whom the letter was written could open that seal, or the king's representative. No one else could open it. The fact that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit tells the devil, hands off. You have no right to mess with this one who's sealed. Amen. We walk about, we carry about the seal of the Holy Ghost in him. Not going to, we have it now. But then I love this next verse, verse 14. The New Living Translation says this: the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised. The King James says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. How many of you ever put down earnest money? What does that mean? That means you're going to complete the contract. But it's not the whole price, is it? It's just the down payment. He's saying here that the Holy Spirit, that we have the mighty Holy Ghost, the greater one who's in us than he that's in the world. The mighty Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead, is just the down payment of what's to come, of our eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. I mean, we get excited, you know, we jump, we run, the Holy Ghost comes on, you know, we shout, we pray. This is just the down payment, folks. Just the down. Ooh, glory to God. Eternal life that we have in us now. We have that eternal life now. Not going to get, we have it now. But it is going to be eternal with God. What quality. Hallelujah. And then, of course, Paul gets here and he starts talking about, he said, I heard you of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love. So he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What does he pray? Well, he prays here that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ said that the Father of glory would give unto you. So this is a prayer we can pray for every Christian. Who? The saints and the faithful. So we can pray this prayer for ourselves. We can pray this prayer for any other Christian. That he would give unto you, unto us, unto me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You see, he's been talking about that, but he wants us to have revelation and wisdom. Wisdom, one definition, and I like this, it's not the only, but one definition that helps, is that it's properly understanding how to apply the knowledge that you have. How many of you know a lot of folks that, how many of you know folks that got knowledge, but they're not, you know, I can point at myself probably, you know, that one. But wisdom knows how to put that into practice. So spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that the light goes on. Now this isn't, listen, how many of you grew up, of course we can't watch these shows now because they're violent, but how many of you grew up watching Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, right? And I don't know, maybe you feel like I've been forever scarred because I watched that, you know, and there's something wrong with me, but... But this light going on is not like the Wile E. Coyote when he had an idea. This light going on is the light of God. You know, there's a lot of times that things seem cloudy, that our understanding seems cloudy, that it just seems dark in it, I really can't see. But thank God for the light shining on that. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened that we might know. Now there's three things here he goes through that he wants us to know. And it's to know intimately, to know by experience. First of all, he says, what is the hope of his calling? The hope. Hope is in Bible hope doesn't mean I wish. It means a confident expectation partnered with joy. Excuse me. If you have hope, you've got joy too. You've got Bible hope. So he wants us to know what is the confident expectation of his calling on our life. In other words, every one of us, later on in the book of Ephesians, he talks about it. Every one of us has received a calling from God. Now what does it mean, a calling? It's an invitation to participate in what God's doing in the earth. Your part, your calling. It's a calling also means a divine summons, okay? To call someone. Have you ever, anybody ever been called by someone? Has your mom or dad ever said, would have called your name and summoned you, right? Well, God has called us. And he has something for us. And he has a confident expectation. Every child of God, every saint and faithful in Christ ought to know what God has called them to do. And if you're struggling, pray this prayer. Father, I ask. Father, I come to you. You're the God of my Lord Jesus Christ. You're the Father of glory. I pray that you would give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Lord. That the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. That I might know what is your confident expectation of the calling that you have on my life. Then he says, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is it? What is it? Two standpoints here. What did God inherit when he got you? And what did we inherit when God got us? What is our redemption? What is it about? What's the riches of it? And then the exceeding greatness. He wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power that's toward us who believe. How many believers in here this morning? Toward you who believe, according to the working of that mighty power, which he did what? He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He wants us to know that resurrection power. We should be living a powerful life, a power-filled life. Excuse me. We should be living a life that is full of manifestations of that resurrection power. Not only in our life, but that resurrection power used on the behalf of others. Amen? That power working. He said it's far above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things, how many things? All things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What he did, he gave us legal right to walk into authority. Legal right to use the power, his power. Legal permission to walk in the new birth and in who we are in Christ. Well, you know, this wasn't written in chapter and verse. And so just keep reading. It says, and you, who's that? Me, you, us saints, us faithful, has he made alive or quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past, you walked according to the course of this world. See, we used to have our life before we became a Christian. 40 years ago, on June 30th, 1980, I got born again. Before that time, I walked 100% according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's who I was. That's who you were before Christ. Among whom, how did we used to live? Whom also we all had our manner of life, conversation, in times past, in doing what? The lust of our flesh. I mean, if it feels good, do it, right? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. New Living here says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. We were by nature the children of wrath. So evidently there's been a nature change. Something's changed when we came into Christ. We got a new nature. The sin nature in our spirit is totally done away with. We're a new creature in Christ. I've got the nature of God on the inside of me now. So do you. God's nature's in there. Now, we still have a flesh to deal with. And, you know, unfortunately, there's times that we have lived according to the lust of our flesh, even as a Christian. We don't have to. And when we do, we need to repent of it and get back things right. But that's who we were. And then the greatest two-word phrase in the entire Bible. Starts verse 4. But God. Ooh, man. I was living according to the lust of my flesh. I was a sinner. I was a good one. I was going to hell. I was head. But God. Oh, but God. But God. But, I mean, I don't care whatever situation you have in life. If you follow it with but God, it's like saying, but the word says. See, what's the word say about this? Brother Hagin, you say it all the time. Pastor says it all the time. What's God's word say about it? Well, people don't like me, but God. They're mistreating me down on the job, but God. You see, but God changes everything. But God. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm a two-time loser, but God. What does it matter? You know how many hundreds of time losers we've been. But God, who is rich in mercy. Who is rich in mercy. Woo! Not just a little. He's rich. He's rich in it. I like to think of that sponge. You know, how many of you have seen a sponge with no water in it? You can just beat, you know. But when you get a sponge, a good sponge, and you fill it up with water, it'll expand. And a good sponge will hold that water in it until you push on it. Put pressure on it. But what is it? That sponge becomes rich with water. And then every time something presses against it, out comes the water. God is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. Woo, glory to God. And he's in me. And he's in you. And every time we press into God, mercy comes out our way. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Excuse me, look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins. See, we were all, that's what he was talking about. Has quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. His life is in you. His life is in us. The Bible talks about the spirit, that well of water springing up into everlasting life in us. It's in us. That life. Not death. Life. He says here, even when we were dead in sins, has he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But he's not done. He's not done that in the ages to come. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace. I like this, the New Living says, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Then, of course, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. By grace. Couldn't earn it. Can't earn it. Couldn't get to God. We God made a way, but because of man's sin nature, man could not fulfill it. The law was righteous and holy. It wasn't the law's fault. It was our fault. Amen. But thank God, God is merciful. By his grace, Jesus came. By the grace of God. For by grace, we're saved. Through faith. That not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And then, of course, I love verse, let's skip down to verse 12. It said that at that time, when you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Let me read just a little bit of this from the Passion Translation. I know we may not have it up there, but let me go back here. He said, well, preacher, all you're doing is reading scripture. Yeah, it's a good sermon.
Amen. Come
on. I don't mind. Paul preached it once, I'll preach it again. I mean, amen. Listen to this in the Passion Translation. Ephesians 1:5 says, for it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. The same one, listen to this. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of the redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. And then I love over here in verse 4 of chapter 2. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ the exalted one, and we ascended with him. You know, when God raised Jesus, he raised me, he raised you. When God seated Christ, he seated us. We're in him. He says, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, he says, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. God wants to use you as his advertisement to a lost and dying world of what happens when you turn to God. Amen. I mean, we've got enough people. It'd take a long time just to take testimonies of what you used to be and what you are now. You know, some of that, what we used to be, we don't want to talk about, and we don't need to. But what we are now, you are God's calling card. You are God's advertisement campaign. You're his marketing campaign. Hallelujah. Just whatever you want, God, just do it. Just bring it on. Hallelujah. Let him work in you. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you to take sections of scripture like this and read it. I'm going to finish this up by doing this. Verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen me in him before the foundation of the world, that I should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated me unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made me accepted in the beloved, in whom I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward me in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto me the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in won all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also I have obtained an inheritance, have been predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that I should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also I trusted after I heard of the word of truth, the gospel of my salvation, in whom also after that I believed, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. After I had faith in the Lord Jesus and loved all the saints, I ceased not to give thanks and make mention of it in my prayers, that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his glory and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to me who believes, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And I he has made alive, who was dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also I had my manner of life in times past, in the lust of my flesh, fulfilling the desire of my flesh and of the mind, and was by nature the child of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for with his great love wherewith he loved me, even when I was dead in sins, has made me alive together with Christ. By grace I am saved, and has raised me up together, and made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards me through Christ Jesus. For by grace I am saved through faith, that not of myself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest I should boast. For I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that I should walk in them. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, I who sometimes was afar off am made near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I encourage you, let's read the word of God like that. Let's make it personal. Let's find out, let's live, and then once we read it, so let it be written. So let it be done. Let this be who we live and who we are and how we live. In Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mighty holy word today, Lord. Father, I thank you as we've shared from your scriptures today, our position in Christ. Father, that you would help each and every one of us to walk in the reality of being in Christ. Thank you, Father. All that we need and all that we have need of and all that we will ever need is found in Christ. And we give you all praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're watching us online or ever how you're watching this, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray with you before we leave this place. We're not going to have altar calls we normally do during these times, but we are going to pray. And if you do pray that prayer, if you're watching us, please let us know at partnerservice@rhema.org. Here today, if you pray this prayer, maybe for the first time, or you just you pray it as a rededication, let one of our ushers know. These guys in the blue Rhema Bible Church usher shirts, let them know that you did that, because we want to stand with you. Amen. In the new birth. So let's all stand together. If you would, congregation, repeat this prayer with us as we help those that are coming to know Christ. Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I come because I believe Jesus is who the Bible says he is. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that you raised him from the dead and that he's alive today. You said in your holy word that if I would believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead and confess with my mouth that he is Lord, that I would be saved. I do believe, and now I confess that Jesus is my Lord. I thank you, Father, that I'm now your child. I am a Christian, And I live for you all my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, like we said, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or have rededication, let somebody know before you leave here today. God bless you. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be here in service tonight. And so come on back if you want to watch on our different modes of electronic modes. That's great. And we're so glad that you're here. Remember, just kind of maintain, you know, respect everybody's space. And if people don't want to shake your hand or hug and they give you one of these, you just give them one of those back, and that'll be a lot of fun, right? All right. But as Pastor Denise says, air hug about 5 people, and then you can be dismissed. Amen. God bless you.